I'm Ryan, I'm an addict. Oh, y'all are sight. I was sitting there watching them boys, Hohenwald boys, bounce up and down off his stage, and I thought, that looks pretty good, but I like the looks of them steps over there. And I got looking over here, and there's handrails on this side. And that's what I kind of moseyed over to the other side of the room to take advantage of that. Getting old's a bitch, I'm just here to tell you. You know, Robert asked me to introduce Dickie, and then Dickie came and asked me to introduce Dickie, so I guess that's a sign I need to introduce Dickie. But, I've known him a long time, 30-plus years. At one time, Dickie was an honorary member of Survival Group in Florence. He loved the North Alabama area recovery, but he was kind of entranced with a North Alabama recovery woman. It's why he was a regular at Survival Group. But, you know, I got to know him a lot better in that early period of time, and I've got to watch his experiences in Narcotics Anonymous. He's like the rest of us. He's grown up in here, and he's accomplished a hell of a lot. You know, he's affected many people through the course of his travels and doing what he does, and this is his last year to do this for us, and I hope he'll be back as a participant instead of a special worker. That's not exactly what he is, but maybe he'll be able to fully enjoy it in the future, you know. But he's experienced happiness, gain, loss. Got this beautiful lady sitting here beside him today that he wouldn't have if it wasn't for this fellowship, you know. And he's been a facilitator for the World Service Conference. I don't know what it takes to do that, but I'm 100% sure that I don't have it. 100% sure of that. And but he does. And I'm blessed to know him and blessed to have him as a active part of my life and my recovery. And I'll give you my friend Dickie D from Louisiana, soon to be Arkansas. I'm an addict called Dickie. Almost a full house this morning. I can remember the days when this convention first started, when we have TVs out there in the overflow rooms out there, and had this thing videoed out there. There were so many people that wanted a part of this. I would just like to, if you would stand, gotta tell you who to stand first. The people that have been to every out of the darkness, please stand. Thank you. And that wasn't for anything except to know that those people still keep coming back. Woo-hoo! And I appreciate them and the rest of the people that I have met along the way in my recovery, because every one of you, in one way or another, has meant something to my recovery. And most of it is positive. I do know that when I first got here, I didn't want to be here. Didn't want any part of this deal, didn't want any part of anything else. At 90 days clean, I went to my first convention, and I met a man who had a little crocheted book cover under his arm. figured he knew some answers. So I went to this man and I went some questions to him about, how long do you need to be here? He said, I don't know. I'm still here. I said, well, how many meetings a week do you need to go to? He said, how many days a week do you use? You know, and every time I asked him a question, he gave me a question back that let me know that I couldn't just come for a couple of days and get on with my life, which is what I had in my mind, is to just get right on with life and just not use, I guess, was my idea. But I'm pretty sure that that not using stuff would have probably went away as soon as I got out there and saw somebody that I had used with in the past. That man is one of the reasons that I stand here today. Bill Brooks. Meant a whole lot to not only me, but a lot of people in this room. And if you didn't get the opportunity to know him, then you missed some things. And I will let you know that there are people around here that emulate that person and that persona that gives back no matter who, no matter what, no matter where, no matter why. Those are big questions that I had when I first got here. And I never got any answers. So I quit asking those questions. But it took me a while to quit asking the questions. Because I wanted the answers. I wanted to get out of here. I didn't want to have to stick around. But yet I find myself here 34 years later. And I tell you today, there's nowhere I'd rather be. There's nowhere I'd rather be than this convention, this weekend. Because when I first came to my first one here, I saw some things happen here that I didn't see a lot of other places. I saw people trying to give stuff away to keep people coming here. They gave away to the newcomer. They tried their best to do whatever they could do to be a giving entity that gave back to people that had never been here, never crossed our paths before. Yet when they found us, they didn't know how to be here and they didn't want to be here. They tried to give them enough to make them stay, want to stay. And they gave me enough to make me want to stay. You know, I'd been to several conventions and there was one up in Canada that I went to that I didn't think anybody could beat. It was one of the ones where they had a meeting every year to elect the convention committee, and there'd be 350 people there, and as soon as the convention committee got selected, there'd be 40 people left to do area and regional business, because everybody was there to be part of the convention committee. That was what they were there for. And they put on a show at their convention, and I will tell you that the last person with the least amount of clean time, and sometimes there was more than one, got physically lifted up in their chair and run around the room up on the stage, and people were just yelling and screaming, and it was just so full of emotions and that I didn't see anything that beat it until I came here to this convention. And it has been that way most of the years that I have been here. And I'd like you to know, because some of you might not, that the first Sunday morning speaker is standing before you right now for the first convention. And I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that they had a lack of money and they didn't want to spend it a whole lot, and they had me come in here to record, so they figured they'd get me to do the Sunday morning speaking, right? And that was my first opportunity to record myself and be able to sell myself. And I was scared shitless, and I sat right by Bill Brooks on the front row, and he looked at me and he said, "Would you like me to start the recorder?" And I said, "Yes, if you don't mind." It's a difficult thing sometimes to be able to live life, realize you don't know enough about what you thought you knew, have people give you that information, and then be overwhelmed by the emotion that comes upon that when they give you that information. I don't know what any of you are here for. I'm pretty sure some of you are here because I'm standing up here. You want to watch me fall on my face, and that's okay. But I don't know why you're in these rooms today, but I know why I'm here. And it's not to give you anything other than what you can get when you go to a meeting. Most of the time, it's not that much. But if you're here today, it tells me something. It tells me that you didn't come here just to have a good time for the weekend and run out of here on Sunday morning. It tells me that you stuck around long enough to see if there's something else that you can grab before you leave here. That's why I'm here. I want to get that last little bit before I leave, and I want to be the last one to leave, because that has happened many a time, and I didn't have to be the last one here. I chose to be the last one here. I see a lot of faces out there that I have run across time and time and time again over the years, whether it be just once a year here or maybe more than that other places. And I appreciate the fact that you continue to keep coming here, because that's what you have in your mind also, is you want to continue this this recovery trail that we're on. And you continue to want to see and grow more and more with what you can do and be. When I got here, I had all the answers, and y'all quit asking the right questions. I didn't have any answers for the questions I got here. I didn't have any comebacks for the information that y'all gave at meetings and things like that. I know that the first several meetings I went to in my little home group, we had a person that came in there, was getting ready to celebrate 4 years clean, and they used to talk about all the shit he used to do and how good he was and how this, the that, and the other, and we knew he just got out of prison, so we knew he wasn't real good at what he was doing anyway, but he told us he was. And as I watched people in the room, I would see people go outside to smoke when it got close to him sharing. And we had smoking meetings back then. You didn't have to go outside to smoke. But I saw people going out there. And one day I found myself out there. And I didn't smoke. And I was so proud of myself that I called my sponsor that night and told him about it and told him how proud I was. And he said, "You just missed the message." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You just missed the message that was given to you by that individual or anybody else while you were outside, because you weren't in there. You weren't in the meeting." I have left one other meeting since then. One. And if I hadn't been begged by a woman, I probably wouldn't have. But she was scared for her husband, and she wanted me to help. And I did. But I will tell you, I go to meetings for me. I don't go to meetings for everybody else. I don't go there to share bits and pieces of somebody else's life. I go there for me. That I'm the important one when I go to a meeting. Not you and what's going on in your life. I need that. Now, the speaker last night talked about all of this hoopla when we get to where we think we know some shit. And what I have learned and understood around here time and time and time again is that, you know, I'm learning some things. I am learning some things about living life on life's terms by continuing to come here and continuing to go to meetings, continue to go in places and meeting people and connected with people in their lives. But I also know that I don't know it all. And I also know that your life might be different than mine, and I don't know it, so I'm giving you my experience when you actually need their experience. You don't need yours. When people ask me to sponsor them today, I give them a couple of questions. I want to know, first of all, what they expect out of sponsorship. And when they get past that, I want to know why me and what they see in me that says that they can get what they're looking for out of sponsorship and out of the relationships that we can have. And I love it when people come out and say, well, I'm on the seventh step right now, and let's just continue on with it. No, let's don't do that. I have allowed one person to continue with the one step they were on at the time because his sponsor had passed away. And he needed to finish the step that he hadn't completed because he hadn't had a chance to share it with his sponsor. And I asked him if he could do that. And he said yes, and he did. And then we started over on step one again, because what the steps are for me and what they're about for me is a relationship building process that I have with one person. That anybody that asks me for that help and that that I need to find out first who they are, where they've been, and where they want to go. I do not want to make them a better Dickie. What I want to do is make them a better whoever they are. And if they have that desire also, then they can get there. But they have to have that desire also. I'll meet you halfway, and most of the time it's been over halfway. But you have to have the willingness yourself. If you don't have the willingness, it's a waste of time. When I first got here, I picked up a tape. A guy by the name of Sam, who spoke at the World Convention in Atlanta way back, 68. And what he talked about in part of his message was that old curmudgeon that sat in the back of the room and would tell people things that they really didn't like to hear. Sit down, shut up, you don't know nothing. Open your ears, close your mouth, and see what you might be able to learn here. And I find that today, when people share in meetings, and like I had an anniversary come up not too long ago, and several people showed up at that meeting that first thing out of their mouth, I really didn't like you when I first met you. I said, yeah. And then after everybody had shared and it was my turn, I turned to some of those people. I said, how long have you been clean? How long have you been coming here? And when they all shared that it had been more than, years. And I asked one of my sponsees, how long have you been coming here? And he said, 33 years. And I said, and you didn't like me when you got here, did you? He said, no. I said, just keep not liking me then. Because you're doing something right for you. And it might be that you have to have a red-assing bitch at me in order for you to keep coming here. I'm not here to give you a sob story or a soft rub on the back. It's going to be okay. I'm here to tell you the truth. They told us that cash register honesty was one of the things that scared people when I got here. You don't hear cash register honesty in meetings no more. You don't hear that bald truth in meetings anymore. And if you do, you don't like that guy because he was being truthful, being honest. There are times when I say things that I wish I could take back because I didn't know enough about what I was saying with an individual in order to be able to share that. And that's one of the things that today I'm still working on. I'm still working on the fact that I can be a better person. I can be a more giving, caring, forgiving person if, in fact, I choose to work at it. And working it's probably where it's the most difficult thing sometimes. Because when you've been around for a while, for some reason, this up here tells you that you've got it going on. Yeah, I have been here a long time. I have been here time and time and time again. I've made every one of these conventions here, recorded all but one. That's not to brag about anything. The fact is I continue to do the things I do daily that allow people to care about what I do and who I am and what I provide for other people. I'm not looking for any, you know, I got a little bitty trophy last night, and I thank y'all for that, for even thinking about me. You know, and it said most outstanding taper. You know, I appreciate that. I really do. And I will tell you that the company that I have a shirt on for, it says Beating Heart Tapes. Because when I first started and I bought Bill Brooks's equipment from him, all I wanted was his archives. He said, you take it all or you don't get none. And so we were doing cassette tapes at the time. Then they started doing CDs, and I said, I don't really want to do that. And then I started doing CDs. And I was doing both cassettes and CDs, and now it's USBs, and now it's, you know, it's time and time again, the format has changed. And then I have to put more money into something, and am I willing to do that? And I finally decided that I'm tired. I'm not wanting to quit. I'm not wanting to not come around, but I'm just tired of every time I look around, I have to stop. Oh man, I got this convention to do. I got this to do. I got this to do. And I need a little bit of a break. The man I bought the equipment from was 68 years old. And when I bought it, he was 69. I'm 69 today. So, you know, it's kind of like, it might be time for me too, also. And I was just going to let it go, give maybe some pieces away or something like that. And it looks like it might not happen that way. And I might be back here again next year, but I'll be helping somebody else. If, in fact, I'm still involved and that person still wants to be involved after a couple of more of these conventions that they go to and enjoy about what we do, okay? Again, you know, I'm not sure why y'all are here. I know when I first got clean and first started coming to conventions, they talk about the Sunday morning spiritual speaker. Well, I don't think I am, and I don't think I'm not. I just don't really know what you expect to get out of the message that I share. They told me when I got anywhere and went anywhere and shared that if if I touch one person, then my job had been done. You know, if I do this one time and I touch one person, I can quit, right? That wasn't what they were talking about. What they were talking about was continuing to do this one at a time. And if there was one at a time that I needed to share it with, then that's pretty interesting number because of the times that I've been allowed to do this. When I first started watching people come up here to this podium, I got to wondering, well, why were they picked? Why were they picked? Why wasn't I picked? And then when I got picked, it was like, ooh, no, not me. I don't want none of that. And I didn't. I didn't want to be a part of this because I didn't know what to say. I've been doing the recordings of people in recovery since 1993. The first one I did, not a sound came out on the tape. Motorcycle Ed, La Place, Louisiana. Biggest function we'd had in a long time down there, not a sound came out on the tape. And I swore that I would never allow that to happen again. And I have been fortunate enough, even though we make mistakes and machines do what they want to sometimes, I've never tried to allow that to happen ever again. Because I'm real diligent about what I produce. I'm real diligent about being a contractor who happens to be in recovery. Because that's what I am. I'm an individual contractor that comes here to do a job, and that job is to provide the message of Narcotics Anonymous to another human being, whoever that human being is. If you choose to buy a CD and carry that to somebody else, then I have done my job. If you choose to buy a whole pile of them and do the same thing, I've done my job. If you come here and you're bringing a bunch of newcomers with you, and you come up to me and you say, this is what I do, then when you walk away from here, you'll have a message again, and I'll have done my job. That's my job. But that also does something for this, because this is totally separate from the job that I do. But they mix when I get up here and start doing those things. I can't mix, I can't separate the two, because it means a lot to me. When we say that prayer before we start meetings and when we end meetings, and we talk about for the person that inside and outside these rooms. Now, I don't know that I knew anything about any recovery process or program when I actually went to my first meeting. But I do know that I believe today that that prayer, that silent prayer that we pray, is a reason that I'm here today. It's a reason that I get an opportunity to participate in not only my life, but a lot of other people's lives too. And for them to be able to appreciate the fact that we can do something different with our lives other than what we've done all our lives. Something different. Something actually better. You know, when I sat in my first meeting, they said, it would get better. It would get this and it would get it. And I was too scared at a 36-year-old man to ask somebody what it was. And all they were talking about was me. But they didn't want to use the word me, like individualizing it, because it was allowing all of us to participate in that message that they were trying to portray to us. We can get different. Every day we choose to be open-minded, we can be different. Whether we're better or we're worse is a choice that we make also. Because we have choices with every decision we make, and they pay consequences. Now, something that I didn't really know a whole lot about was consequences can be both positive and negative. I didn't realize that consequences could be positive. Didn't think about it. Didn't think of it in that method. But you know, if I study for a test real hard and I make an A, that's my consequence. I have just surpassed what I think I'm capable of by making that A. If I study a little bit and make a B or C, I've done okay. But if I don't study at all and I flunk the test, then that's my consequence. You know, it's not just standing up against the wall, don't breathe. Lay down, put your hands behind your head, back. You know, that's consequences also. But I'm fortunate enough to have not had those kind of consequences in my using days, as maybe some of you might have. But I've been fortunate not to. And I get the opportunity to intertwine my life with people that have been in places that I never wanted to go and never did. And they give me that information, and I choose not to today. I choose not to go to those places. I choose not to live that style of life because I don't have to. I'm not forced to. What I know today is that when I used, I was forced to use only because I felt that that was a need for me to live, to survive. Was I had to be loaded. I couldn't make it through life without that. Once I stopped using, really stopped using, not just didn't have any dope so I couldn't use for a couple of days, that's not really stopping using. Or don't smoke any cigarettes because you didn't have enough money to afford a backpack, and until you got money, you had stopped. No. Until I had stopped using, came in here and not used any longer, one day at a time, I didn't know that there could be a different way of life. I didn't have any idea that life could be as good for me as it is today. You know, I get to looking around and I see people that have been around here and their lives have gotten different to start with. And then for those people, their lives have gotten better because of the choices that they make today that allow those things to get better. They don't allow them to get into the negative again. I heard a guy share the other day, recorded a guy, actually, good friend of mine, who's over 30 years clean. He got in a motorcycle accident going to Sturgis. Don't have any idea what happened. He's got short-term memory loss on that. And he's waist down, nothing there. I mean, he just can't. Nothing he can do down there. And that happened probably 3 or 4 years ago. And he could have just wasted away in depression and all those kind of things. Right now, he dresses up and goes and sits in front of a board of regulators in D.C., Washington, D.C., because of his experiences he had before he had the accident. And he's wondering, what the hell am I doing here? And then when he shares his part and then listens to them share their part, he said, what the hell are they doing here? Because he's well understanding that he has learned some things that those guys just think they've learned. They actually read it in a book. They didn't actually go out there and do the deal. And that's what he did. You know, we actually do the deal in here. And you can choose to work on the steps. You can choose to get a sponsor. You can choose to continue to go to meetings on a regular basis. You can choose to choose a home group and be diligent to that home group. You can choose a lot of things. You can also choose not to. And what happens when you choose not to is we don't see you anymore. And when we don't see people anymore, we get to wondering. A lot of us, us old curmudgeons, and I see a bunch of us out there, we all automatically think, well, they're out there using again, I guess. You know, some of them might not be. This might not be the answer for everybody. This might be just a starting place that allows them to get somewhere to where they can be comfortable themselves. This is home for me. Narcotics Anonymous is home. I have found the place that I love to live life in and amongst with you people. Some of you I don't know, and it really doesn't matter. Some of you might not care for them, but it really doesn't matter. It's not about what I think or what I approve of. It's about what I can do in here to help each and individual person that needs that help, that I can help them. Whatever it is, if it's talking to them on the phone. Got a young man from back home who called me the other day, and it's been a while back, but he calls kind of regularly, and he shared one night with me, and he said, I don't like you. He said, but damn it, you shared something that meant something to me just a few minutes ago, and I didn't want to share, but I have to now. And since he said that openly in a meeting, and this guy's got 6 years clean now, he's been calling me when he gets all stove up, and he just feels like that I'm willing to talk to him and give him some honesty about what I see and what I hear coming from his end of it. Because that's all that we can do here, is we can only give information back with the information we're given. What I know is when I got here, I had a lot of information up here. And y'all gave me a bunch of information, and I had it all up here real jumbled up. But until I got rid of some of that old information, that new information didn't stick. And I had to continue to hear that information again and again. That's why you read the damn readings every meeting, ain't it? So we can remember what we forgot from yesterday and what they mean. When I got here, I didn't understand that I'm the addict we talk about. Who's an addict? Because I put my hand up when that reading comes up. And what I'd like for all of you to know is that reading has four words at the top. It says, who is an addict? But most people don't read that. They start with the reading as opposed to that first four words. Do you know those first four words might be something that the newcomer has never heard? And they might not put it all together with the rest of the reading because that wasn't stated. Who's an addict? I'm the addict. What is Narcotics Anonymous? And we explain what we are. And why are we here? That lets people know it's okay for them and anybody else that wants to come here. How it works. How we do this so that we can turn our lives from one direction into another direction. And that traditions one where they said, yeah, this is the one where we learn not to kill the other guy. You know, the traditions have got a place that a lot of people that have been around here, that, oh, that's just a tradition, it'd be okay. I don't want to really learn anything about them. But yet, when they have a problem in their lives, it isn't the steps that slow them down. It's traditions that they don't look at that might be a place that they can look for an answer. My wife, I had a suggestion in our home group that we do literature study. And at that time, we had two meetings a week, so we made one of them a literature study. And we started reading the basic text. And we read the basic text from cover to cover. We didn't just read this front of it and start again. We read the stories one at a time. And in reading not only the first 10 chapters of the basic text where it talks about us and who we are, what we are, where we are, why we are, how to do it differently, traditions and some other things that we have in the first 10 chapters, it gives us some examples of that. And Bill Brooks' story is still in the basic text, by the way. And several others are still in the basic text, by the way. Because we're doing the sixth edition for the second time. And we're reading the stories. And the information that we get there just either adds on to the information we already have, or it's new information that we need to add to the information that we have. And then we did It Works How and Why. And then we started doing everything we have. And now we started over again. And the thing that's good about that is we don't have to have somebody coming to me. Well, I hadn't worked the seventh step yet, but let me give you my ideas about that. And it's kind of like people that's been around for a while go, oh, no. So what we can do is we can allow those people to participate in their own recovery along with them participating in ours. A person can have 30 days clean and give me a sparkle with something they share because it's something I maybe hadn't thought about in a while. Or maybe it's something that I have never thought about at all. So it's a real good thing for me. Everybody with 30 years of clean or more, please stand up. 30 years? I got you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, man. And everybody with a year or less, please stand up. Now, there's a lot of people that have a lot of clean time that would have been here, but they needed some rest from last night, so they had to go home. And I probably would have been one of them had I not had a job over here. But I like the idea of seeing people with less than a year clean stick around. And for me, it gives me that thought that maybe they're trying to catch that last little bit of what we do here. Because if you really didn't want to be here, you wouldn't be here this morning. You'd already be gone. I'm not sure what you believe conventions are all about. Celebration of recovery, they say. Fundraiser, they say. For me, it's about meeting new people and getting to do relationships with the same people that you've known for years. And if nothing else, this pandemic has really messed up a lot of people's lives, but if nothing else, is just to be able to see a friendly face that you hadn't seen in a long time. Glad you're here, JW. Good to see you, man. You know, I started some new relationships this weekend, and they aren't brand new, but they're ongoing, and they've actually been deepened because of the fact that other people have not been scared to come to me and just sit down and talk. Somebody asked me, he said, "Do you mind if I sit and share breakfast with you yesterday?" Sure, I'm by myself, of course. I had some other people that have spent some time with me in a recording room in there just to share a little bit about their lives. They'll ask me about mine a little bit, and then all of a sudden they go off into theirs, which is fine. Because one of the things that I know is if I go into a barber shop, that barber's going to talk. Because that's what they do. If you go into, well, this is one of the things that hadn't been in a while, but if you go into a bar room, the bartenders go, listen, because the guys on the other side of the bar are going to do the talk. But the people that come in here need to have people listen to them. They need to interact with other people so that their lives can be blessed a little more each moment in time. You know, if you decide that you want to go back and do some more research, I'll love you till you get back. I'm going to be here. And I can say that today because I have proven that day at a time over a long period of time. And if I'm not here, then I've made the choice to not be here. Whether it be because I can't afford, I've got too damn old, nobody will drive me over here because I live way over yonder. Whatever it might be, it won't be because I don't want to be here. But what I'm really hoping is that one day at a time, I can stay clean. You know, being late into recovery, I like to say today that I was late. I've been late for one meeting. That was my first one. And I don't show up on time for all meetings, but I can tell you if I got any amount of time at all to make it to a meeting, I'm there. Because I believe that meetings are important. And I believe they're important for me, not for anybody else. And we talk about people and we, you know, jabber about who's there, who's not there, which is not supposed to be happening. But what I see is we got a bunch of people out here that are just human beings trying to be spiritual. And that's okay, because that's what we are. And that's who we are trying to be. We're not trying to be perfect. We're trying to be different. We're trying to be different so that we can be a little bit more pleasing, not only to other people that we interact with, but to ourselves. Because I know I hurt a lot of times when I open my big fat mouth and say something that I know I shouldn't, and say it anyway, and don't know how to say, "I shouldn't have said that." I'm sorry is a word that I've tried to get out of my vocabulary completely. But every once in a while, it's necessary that I start with that. But I don't stop with "I'm sorry," because "I'm sorry" is not enough. If I don't change some of the actions that I do today, then "I'm sorry" has not done anything but just create the same old patterns, allow me to be in the same places all over again. I'm not willing today to continue the action that I did for years, day after day after day. I'm not willing to lie about shit they find because I'm the culprit, but I'm going to put it off on somebody else. I'm not the victim today. I don't want to be the victim today. I just want to be a person who lives life on life's terms and have got some peace on the inside. You know, I'm living a little bit of a interesting life today because I have a job that I really enjoy, and it's turmoil crazy right now because of the things that go on. And I have a brand new house, a home, excuse me. I have a brand new home we have built, my wife and I, in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I presently live more of my time in Amy, Louisiana because of 90-year-old mother, sister's got cancer, brother-in-law's got diabetes, and I'm the only person other than my 90-year-old mother who's able to take care of anybody and do anything there. And having my wife there helps me some because it takes it away from me. But she wants me to be there with her in Arkansas. And it tears me up on the inside, and I'm not sure that even I understand the reasoning behind it, because I want to be there too. I want to be in Hot Springs. I want to just cut ties and run. Heard that before? Have we cut ties and run? Day after day after day. Run away from everything that we didn't like or didn't want or didn't, just were scared of. See, I'm not a cut and runner anymore. But what I am is I'm a watcher. I have learned so much from watching other people and how they deal with life on life's terms. And I see it in meetings. I see it in life. And I also see it from people that have no idea that they're around a liar, cheat, and a thief. They don't have any idea. But I get to watch them and see how they act and react around life. And it makes my life better because I understand better about what my needs are that day. You know, this has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. What I have accomplished and what I've been a part of since 1993, when I bought the equipment from Bill Brooks. A lot of things have changed and a lot of opportunities have come past me that they don't go slow enough anymore for me to really appreciate. But the people that I see in front of me on a regular basis are what I can say that today has been the most impressive thing that I have accomplished. Is I have friends today because they choose to allow me to be part of their lives. And of course, I allow them to be part of mine also. So if you have not been around a whole lot or don't know whether you want to stick around here a whole lot, that's okay. I was there. But if you want to continue to watch the fun, continue to come here and be a watcher. Continue to come here and laugh at other people on the inside when they start talking and stuff like that. But if you stick around here long enough, you'll see them come to the other side of that and their life turn and get better. And you wonder, what was I laughing at? I appreciate immensely my opportunity to be clean today. And I hope today to make it till I go to sleep tonight clean. But I will tell you that I'm going to be here the next time we meet, whether it be here or somewhere else, because this is my life today. Thank y'all for letting me share.